I was in a mountain village standing next to a doctor who Fame partners with there. And as we were talking in near a clinic area, a husband and wife came running up to us, and in their language, he was saying over and over, he was saying the same thing, and he was just saying, you saved Aaliyah, you saved Aaliyah. And he was saying a lot to the doctor there and thanking him for saving Aaliyah. And I didn't know the story at that point. And then he turned to me and in English kind of grabbed my shoulders and said, in English, he said, and now we know Jesus too. That's what Fame does around the world, is to help people to be meet the needs they have physically, like Aaliyah did, their daughter, who had fallen and broken a leg, which actually, without treatment and setting a bone, could put her in a terrible position if she grew up without the proper treatment, that she could be at risk of all kinds of things in the world that we live in some of the countries around the world. And so I want to today to thank you on behalf of Fame for your partnership for families like Aaliyah's parents and Aaliyah, who were able to have a physical need met, but at the same time, they meet Jesus. Fame comes alongside churches like yours and partners with global partners to make a difference around the world. And I get to share a message from the book of Matthew with you today, but weave in some stories about the impact that Fame has around the world because of churches like you. So my name is Jeff, my wife Denise, and I was sitting over there with her. We've known and really cared a lot about and respected Samaria Church for a long time, knowing Shan for a long time. Matter of fact, I think the first time I met Shan, I didn't know I met him because it was in San Jose, California, when we were traveling with my parents. And he told me that I met him in San Jose because I was, Shan's old. I was not. I was a little boy. And then through the years, Shan has just been an encourager to me. And just been a real blessing, of course, even as our relationship now gets to continue and his relationship on the board at Fame. But someone else who's on our board that you would care about is Mike Tinkler's son, Seth, is also on our board. And Seth, of course, has a big impact as a young man on the team there and so on our board. And so he gets to make a difference. But Fame does come alongside global partners who went to the field for many different reasons, some of them not knowing that they are really going to have a medical component to their mission, but they saw the need and were able to use that, whether it's Bible translation or orphan care or whatever, and then they see the medical need, and that's why Fame is able to come alongside them. And we do three things. Fame comes alongside and helps give grants that you guys have helped with, and we'll mention one of those a little bit later, to be able to give grants, to be able to build hospitals and clinics. There are 18 hospitals or clinics currently either under construction, being outfitted, or being funded right now, which is amazing in countries around the world. We ship medical equipment supplies. Our warehouse up in Indianapolis receives and sends millions of dollars worth of medical equipment supplies that's been used for a short time, really, when it comes to the life of equipment. You know, something that stopped being used on Friday, replaced over the weekend, and the brand new one's in on Monday, and Fame is able to use that for years to come in facilities around the world. And then we do send teams around the world. And so there is some information table in the back that tells about short-term trips that you can go on that are, we need medical and non-medical people to go on. And tells about some of the projects and things that will overlap and weave into the story in Book of Matthew today as we see that. But I just appreciate you guys and your church so much and the impact that you've had on Fame, but other people around the world. 1 in 10 people in the world walk for healthcare. That's how they receive it. That's how they get to it. 1 in 10 people around the world, millions of people, that's the only access they have. And many of those, they walk more than 3 hours. I was in a place that our team had just been, and they told me a story that there was a couple at the end of the day of a whole day of medical camp, of taking care of people all day, treating hundreds of people. The last family of the day was leaving, and when the team was leaving right at dark, and the team was getting in their vehicles and vans and driving back to where they were staying in this mountain village where they were, and this husband and wife and their two children were leaving, and they were walking out of the distance, and some of our team was like, where are they going? And they were walking home 3 hours to go to where they had walked from that morning to just see the doctors that were on the team there. That access is something that surprises us, that lack of access that we have here. A year ago, I was still in physical therapy from a few months earlier. You know the Kroger gas station up on 135 at Smoky Row and 135? Anybody been to that gas station? Well, if you were there about 9:30 at night one night last year, I saw an ambulance. That was me. I tripped over the hose like I've done since I was 14 years old, putting gas in the car, right? I stepped over the hose, caught my toe on it, fell kneecap first, and shattered my kneecap, and I was then taken by ambulance to the hospital. Well, there was a 911 call from the Kroger guy in the little hut there, and then I looked at my watch when I got in the ambulance. It had been 11 minutes from the time that I fell to the time I was in an ambulance. There's a young boy named Nagua Wu who walked for 9 days with his mom to get to a clinic of FAMES. Not 11 minutes, but 9 days of walking to get there. We have such an opportunity that because where the lack of access to the medical care seems to be around the world, there's a lack of access to the gospel. And you can find places where there's a lack of access to the gospel and the good news is present. You'll find the same thing when we use national, global, and universal studies of where to help get clinics and hospitals, that the places where there's a lack of access to the gospel, there's also a lack of access to health care. So FAME comes alongside global partners, we'll do that because we want to see people the way Jesus did. And Matthew is an interesting writer. And in Matthew, we can see that, and I want to start by looking at Matthew chapter 4. If you want to turn with me to there in your Bible or on your phone or anything you have with you to see it. Jesus is noted by Matthew as seeing things. There's 9 times that Matthew says, and Jesus saw. This is the word S-A-W, because Jesus saw someone. And there's some times that it stands out what he saw, and it's about people. And I just thought we'd look at a few of those today and weave in some stories about your impact that you've had as a church through your partnership with FAME. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, is one of the places that it mentions this first. Matthew tells us to use the same phrase about himself a little bit later. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there is the same word Matthew uses again. He only uses it 9 times in his whole book. It says, going on from there, he says, and going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. The word saw there is, obviously we know what it means, but have you ever had a moment in your experience in life where you've gone past or looked at something dozens and hundreds of times, and then there's a moment when you see something for the first time? You didn't see it for the first time, but you saw it for the first time. It was just like you deeply noticed and observed something about it. You saw it. And there was something deeper that happened. That's what happens here in this word that Matthew's using about Jesus. Because there's more than just like he noticed 2 guys in their boat, noticed 2 more guys. Because it says the same thing in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, when Matthew tells about his own time when he was seen. And he says that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, I put a post-it note about Haiti right on top of it. Hold on just a minute. There we go. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the toll booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. When I was seeing these passages, and I noticed the word saw being used there, it really hit me that there was something about these men in this story, and some women we see later, that these were guys that Jesus saw their heart. And so I didn't notice the first time that Matthew uses this word is that Jesus saw ready disciples. He saw disciples ready to be used by God. Because each of these three stories, he saw them, he called them, and they dropped everything, and they went with him. They were ready to be used by him. And I think Jesus still sees people like that, and he sees us, and he calls us out. Because we're ready to do something. We may not know exactly what to do. Obviously, Peter and John, and Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, they were ready. There was something stirring in them for a while. For to drop your business, all three of them did, and to go with Jesus. They were ready. And I think there's times for maybe some of us where we're ready, but maybe we just haven't heard that right moment for us to be used by God. We're followers of Jesus, but to be, drop everything and go do something. I think there's times for us to do that like they did. But I think what I like about this most is Jesus sees us when we're ready like that. He notices us. But the other time it's used is when Jesus saw some crowds of hurting and sick people. It may or may not surprise you who these crowds were and where they were. But if you look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 with me, it's the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, it starts in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and it's real simple. Matthew writes, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and then we have the Sermon on the Mount. It starts with the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus continues with this message called the Sermon on the Mount. Well, who were the crowds? It says there were crowds, but it really impacts what we're thinking about today and the relationship that you guys have with fame, because let's look at who the crowds were. It's in the last few verses of chapter 4. If we look at 4:23 and following, let's look at who are these crowds that Jesus saw. It says, now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria, so they were brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, those suffering with demon-possessed and those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And when he saw those crowds, he went up on the mountain, he sat down and teached. Who were the crowds at the Sermon on the Mount? It included people that had been healed by Jesus. And that's exactly how the ministry of Jesus went, isn't it? He healed people, he shared the good news. He shared the good news and he healed people. He wove the two together in everything that he did for all those years of ministry that Jesus did. And so that's the example model that Fame follows in our global partnerships with people around the world. This year so far, we have partnered with 43 different missionaries around the world and worked with them to send equipment, send teams, or help them with a clinic. That's in January. Okay? And so when we think about these types of partnerships, it has to do with ready disciples sometimes, people who are ready to be used by God to make a difference, but also has to do with crowds. And trust me, you know this, and I do too, there are crowds of people that need Jesus. Millions of people do. We talked about the millions of people that are impacted by what we do around the world, but let's be more specific. We said 1 in 10 walk without access to the healthcare, except for walking. Well, let's bring it down to some people that you've helped. Recently, you guys helped a hospital in Pakistan that's under construction, and actually the grand opening is this fall. My wife and I have been invited to it, some other people, but it is on the United States Do Not Travel list to this region because Christians are persecuted so severely. And actually, some of the architects and people that have helped to build this, the laboratory that you guys helped to fund, and actually folks from Canada and Australia are really the outside of Pakistan folks because the United States folks, it's not safe for us there. But it's also not safe there for Christians, whether they're Pakistani or American. As a matter of fact, they are one of the most largely persecuted regions of Christianity is in this region around Lahore, Pakistan. As a matter of fact, a number of Easters ago, there was a very deliberate attack on the on Christians at a Christian event on Easter Sunday, and hundreds were killed in the attack that happened at a park. It was children and men and women, and they were attacked because they are Christians. But Salim Massey, the partner who is heading up the hospital that's being built there and that'll open this year, is good at understanding the impact that hope and love can have, because Christianity and what we offer through Jesus in healthcare and other things is different than any other religion or belief system in the world. We help the most vulnerable. We care about people who are hurting. And so he had an event to thank the first responders who went to the who ran and rushed in to take care of that people on Easter Sunday the year before. And that was had thousands of people came to the property, this campus, and they were fed a meal and thanked for being first responders for the Christians that were injured that day. His relationship in the community is so substantial, Shan even mentions it in your bulletin, that there is a cross on top of this building. Churches in Pakistan aren't allowed to have crosses because they're so anti-Christian there. But because of the love of Jesus that's being shown, it allows the good news to be told. The building permitting system has allowed a cross on top of the building. That's the type of relationship that happens there. And you guys have made that happen. So this laboratory that's inside there, you guys helped us to be able to make that happen. But as we talk about the crowds of people, you're really helping some of the world's most vulnerable. 3.5 to 4 million, that's a pretty big spread. That's a $500,000 difference because we don't know exactly. Human rights organizations studying it. Between 3.5 million and 4 million people are indentured servants or slaves for brick kiln workers in this region of Pakistan. There are children who are working with their family making bricks, who are making bricks in this region to pay off the debts of their grandparents. And they're in such a system that they never, ever catch up and pay for it. They live on the property of the brick kiln workers. If you just look it up, you would be astounded at the information you could find in 5 minutes about this situation that's known globally, but very little is being done about it. So what this hospital is going to do is exactly what our sustainability around the world is. I pause here because this is the one you guys have had so much impact on, is that if you notice this hospital, this is just an exterior picture, but it is going to be state of the art. You know, there's level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 hospitals. This is a level 4 hospital with some of the best equipment in the world. And here's why, is that we've learned the pattern with our global partners is that if you just build a facility that serves the poor, you need outside sources to be able to fund it. If FAME comes alongside and your church and other churches like you come alongside and we financially help these partners, one-time gifts or grants to get them up and moving, we can have them have a state-of-the-art facility that folks with means will come to this hospital. Folks with means will be treated here and cared for, and they will then pay the bills for their hospital care that allows this hospital to continue to treat the poor. That's a good system, don't you think? That we're able to help these global partners be able to do that. And so you guys are making a huge impact. There's 18 other projects under construction just like this and in process right now. And so it's exciting to be able to be part of how God is still, just like how Jesus saw, people are still seeing crowds of hurting and sick and making a difference with them. But let's go on in Matthew. There's another time Jesus would see that he saw. So he saw crowds, but he didn't just see the crowds. We also see when we look in a couple of passages that he saw one at a time who needed healing. In Matthew chapter 9 here, it says that, in Matthew 9 it says, just then, in 9:20, Matthew 9:20. So just then a woman who had been suffering from bleeding for 12 years approached Jesus from behind and touched the hem of his robe. For she said to herself, if I could just touch the robe, I'll be made well. And Jesus turned and, here's our word again, saw her. Have courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you. And the woman was made well from that moment. It's pretty amazing to me that we have one more time here that Matthew says Jesus saw one person. He saw the crowds and did things for them, but he cares about every single individual one at a time that he cares about. And he cared about her needed healing, and he treated her. And immediately, by her touching the hem of his robe, she was healed because of her faith. That's exactly one at a time that we're able to partner with you to make a difference. All these global partners around the world, we talk to them, we listen to them, and we get reports from them. And as we do that, we started trying to pay attention and do a little bit of the survey work and just count up some things. And it's one person at a time. But we've found that over 2 million people a year hear the gospel and are treated in our facilities and clinics that FAME partners with around the world. That's over 5,000 people a day hear the good news of Jesus because of you guys. And that amazes me that there's just that many people that are cared for and treated in the facilities that have been partnered with FAME. FAME's been around 50 years, and these relationships have been building deeper and deeper and deeper. But they all happen one at a time. There was a gentleman that got hurt in the Philippines and was unconscious. And a friend of his was able to put him on the back of a motorcycle because he was so ill, and threw him over the back of the motorcycle, kind of like you see someone in a Western show put someone on a horse, right? And they took him like that. And he rode the motorcycle for us 2 hours from where we're building a clinic in the community, where a clinic is being built called the Village of Hope in the Philippines, and for 2 hours on a motorcycle ride throughout the distance that he took this gentleman there. And when he got to the hospital, he was still unconscious, had lost a lot of blood, and was not doing well. And they were able to treat him and care for him, and he's come back to health. But you know, one of the things that happened is that his feet drugged for 2 hours, and he lost toes on both feet because of the access attempt to get him to care. And so the new facility that we're building, he's actually from the village where Village Hope is going to be, that'll eliminate the type of lack of access and crisis that can happen. But that one at a time story is so important, because that father, and last we talked to the partner there, I got an email back and forth with them about this story. That gentleman heard the gospel. He's been cared for and continued. He still hasn't made a decision to follow Jesus, but he's told his children about Jesus, and they've all become followers of Jesus now, been baptized, and he's still processing it and thinking of it. That's okay, because we're only months in. But that's how this impact can happen, of one at a time. We have a dad who is so impacted by the love of the people that cared for him, that his children are believers, a little bit ahead of him making a final decision to be a follower of Jesus. But that's the type of impact one person at a time can have. That's the kind of impact that happens around the world all the time. And as you guys think about that, and we have one more verse that Matthew saw that we can look at, I just like to tell you about one of our current upcoming needs that we have. I don't know, it's hard to see in the news and learn things that happen around the world, because our news gets filled with certain things. But right now, Haiti has been basically closed off from outside sources for about 4 or 5 years. We have not been able to ship anything in. With one of our partners, they have a partnership that they actually they use yachts and boats to sneak things to the border outside of Haiti, and then they bring them in little boats one at a time overnight. One of our hospitals is being, and it's called Peridot, One of our hospitals at that little village is actually being funded and cared for and filled up with equipment and supplies, the expendable supplies that are used in hospitals that way. But in general, as far as like delivering shipping container loads of equipment, it's just not happening because of the gangs that are in the region that are so terrible right now in Haiti. That being said, it has really put the people of Haiti into a position of being more sustainable and making sure that they're taking care of needs themselves and protecting themselves and doing their own work and not relying on outside sources as much. Okay, so there's some positive things that can happen in the midst of this. And one of those is a ministry clinic that started in 2014 with some folks that were in orphanage. And they saw the need for a clinic, and they built a small clinic, and they are running themselves, they're outfitting themselves, they're resourcing the best they can in their own community. They're going to get supplies in Port-au-Prince at night and bringing them back. They're doing everything they can to process things the best they can. One thing that I love about our global partners is they're ingenious. One thing they've learned is that if we can get shipping supplies to certain places on holidays, that even gangs take holidays off. This last Christmas, we delivered things to 9 different clinics on Christmas morning because even gang members stay home with their family. And so, you know, there's just ways to do this, and they're doing that. So in the midst of this time where Haiti is closed off, this clinic in Jacmel is building doing a $50,000 remodel right now that we just are excited about because they're the ones who are going to do the building, the construction, the layout. They're sourcing their equipment and supplies the best they can, and it's going to make such a huge difference. We have a women and children maternity area that is such a need in the region where they are. And so that's a project that would be well worth considering. And maybe you as a church have people you could talk to amongst each other, as a church could maybe consider something like that. Or just you as a family and individually could get more information at a little table out there. Just talk to me about ways to come alongside and be able to help that. That is such a great project that is happening right now. And just like Pakistan, the impact is going to be generational and change things dramatically in that region. And so that's a fun project in Haiti to see what's happening among the people there and the difference that... Can you imagine the financial ability to have $50,000 do a complete...
You know, we can't get cars for that here, right?
You know, I mean, it's phenomenal what is accomplished by these parts around the world. And the reason we're able to do that is because of people that are willing to go and people that are willing to send. And I thank you for your partnership in that sending part often. And Jesus saw that as a solution. That's really the last thing that we can see that in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus saw. In verse 35 and following, we have a verse that we've used a lot in verse 38. But let's look at 35 and following of chapter 9. It says, "And Jesus continued going around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness." And then here's this word again. "And when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field.'" So Jesus saw a solution. His solution is for people to go and people to send. You know, sometimes we're part of the going. In chapter 9, verse 2, it says that Jesus had gotten into a boat, crossed over, came to his own town, and just then some men brought him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. And seeing, here's that word again, their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Have your courage, your son, your sins are forgiven." This is the 4 friends brought a friend to Jesus, and they cut the hole in the roof and dropped them down. So there's times where we're the ones that go. There's friends we have that we care for, we touch them, we're the ones that bring them to Jesus. And there's still times for that as part of the solution. And there's also times for us to pray for those who are going, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We can make such a difference around the world. I do have the opportunity to share with a lot of people around the world about, and around the country mainly, about the needs that are out there in the world. And a lot of people think, you know, my part won't make much difference. It's amazing how a small, generous act can make a big difference. And so if there's something you can do to touch someone else's life, do it. Whether it's through fame or whether it's through just friendliness in your community. I know a small act can make a big difference. Have you ever turned your cart over to someone else at Aldi and not taken your quarter? It's like you just gave them $1 million, right? It's just like, no, you can have my cart. And it's like, wow, people keep their quarter. You know what, something I've never done, I've always wanted to do, is put a quarter in every single cart and set every cart free at Aldi's. And then someone could, so, and just see how long would it last, you know? I think, because people like giving away. It seems like when people get the quarter, they pass it on, right? That cart goes for hours. It would be fun to see how long it would last to have the whole thing full of quarters and just set every cart free and see how long it would last. But a small thing can make a big impact. And so I just encourage you today, Jesus saw people like us ready to make a difference. Jesus saw crowds of people and the needs they had, but he saw everybody one at a time. And then he saw a solution. And it's us giving and going and caring for the people around us every day. That's why your prayer list includes folks who are sick and hurting, because we know that when we're most vulnerable, we're most open. And that's what we get to do around the world with people, and that's what you get to do when you just pray for folks like on your prayer list here, and we care about others. When we're vulnerable, we're open to the gospel more. And so what a great opportunity we have, whether it's right here in our regions of Johnson and Morgan County, maybe some of you Brown County, I don't know where you drove from, as we just are here in this region, or maybe it's around the world. And it's an opportunity to partner with Jesus, to be able to see people the way he sees them, so that we can touch their lives. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do just thank you for this church and their kindness to one another, the love that they have here in a fellowship, the love that they share in their family for generations, but also, God, the impact they have around the world. And so, God, we thank you for, first of all, the Jesus that you saw us, and each one of us, and you cared enough for us to offer us the good news of the gospel. May we just partner with you in a way to see others the way you see them, so that lives can be changed and more people can join us in the promise of eternal life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff, for those encouraging words. And it's awesome to hear the work that FAME does, not only for the medical portion of it, but the fact that families getting to hear the gospel and spreading God's word. That's very, very encouraging. So, let's do our song of invitation. Let's all stand and sing, "Jesus, I Come."
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of thy out of thy storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant psalms, Jesus, I come to thee.
Thank everybody for coming today. Just a reminder, don't forget about the birthday cards for Herb. And Richard, wasn't it great that you didn't get picked on today? It was probably enjoyable, wasn't it? Would you mind doing a benediction for us?
Blessed be the tie that binds.